Okay, welcome into another Duly Noted podcast. Of course, it's twice a week now because we are in football season, and I'm not in football shape. I can tell you that. Going from TV, doing the TV show on CBS4. Actually, Shannon Snell, my special guest. You can see that Saturday. We're doing two podcasts a week here. We're doing Swampcast and Facebook Live and speeches and everything. But, hey, it's exciting time. Now, it's become a little less exciting with what's happened at UF. Certainly, the suspensions announced Wednesday afternoon by Coach McElwain of Jordan Scarlett and Rick Wells. Rick Wells doesn't matter really that much. You know, Jordan Scarlett is a really good back. He's not Darius Geis. He's not, you know, Royce Freeman, but he's a good back. It's more than that. It's not even about personnel to me anymore with this whole situation. Is how far does this thing go? How deep does it go? And hopefully we'll get answers eventually. Is it over yet? And again, I'm taping this on Thursday. By the time we get to Saturday, there may be more players. In fact, there's been a lot of talk that there are more players involved, and that's not good. It's a shame. You know, this was kind of why Florida didn't play these kind of games to start the season, because you always knew you had players who got suspended. And, you know, that was the whole Spurrier joke about Georgia was, yeah, we like playing them early when they got guys suspended. Well, yeah, because that does tend to happen, because it's not just because of – this is a different situation. But certainly when you have – players who've had an awful lot of offseason, they test positive, they can get in trouble for something, they can miss class perhaps, and it doesn't carry over until the first game. So we've seen guys before. But this issue with selling or taking your credit card that was issued to you to buy books and stuff and buying other things, selling them, and however this thing, I mean, we've heard a million stories about it. However it ends up being in the final wash. This is selfish players. That's what they're being. They're being selfish. They don't care about their team. They don't care about their coach. And they're doing what puts money in their pockets. Now, there are going to be people out there who are going to make the argument that, well, players need to get paid. Players need to get paid. Look at this. Coaches are making $4 million. They just announced an extension for Mike White. Well, why aren't those players getting paid? Well, look, that's a separate argument, okay? I don't believe players should be paid. I believe they get an awful lot for what they give. Whether it's equal to what they give in terms of what they have to give up and all the hard work they do. But they also get tutors. They get all their medical taken care of. They get a great education. They get meals. They get a lot of stuff, man. I believe that's enough. If you want to argue that it's not, okay, we can have that discussion, but in the end, you're going to have to explain to me how you're going to do it. And that's what nobody's ever done. We need to pay players. All right, so how are you going to pay them? You're going to pay them based on their performance? Are you going to really do that? And you're going to have a running back say, hey, I need the ball. I need another touchdown to get my bonus. Are we going to have that? Are you going to have third-team centers not make as much as the first-team quarterback? And you're going to have resentment there? And how are you going to pay all the players on all the other sports? Because you have to pay them. It's Title IX. You have to do that. So when somebody can explain that to me, then we can have a legitimate discussion about paying players. But that's a separate argument. That's an argument for a different time. The argument here is, here are the rules. Here's what you know you can't do. Here's right. Here's wrong. I'm choosing to do wrong and hope I don't get caught. And now that they are caught, obviously going to miss this game. So that, to me, is the whole issue. Now, I, you know, there are people say, we actually had a caller on the radio show the other day say, you know, I don't, they should hire people because Florida's got all kinds of money. They should hire people to stay babysit these guys and be with them all the time. A, you can't do that. B, nobody has that much money. And to sit with 85 football players at all time, are you not going to do it for basketball and baseball? That's ludicrous. And then the other problem is, who would want to go to a school where you never could go out on your own? You couldn't go on a date without a chaperone. You couldn't go to the club without somebody being there. That's never going to happen. And it's easy for people to say, well, you didn't recruit good enough kids. Well, look, everybody takes risks in recruiting. There's a reason why everybody, every program is dealing with some kind of suspension or during their seasons or during their careers, certainly, some kind of suspension, some kind of guys who get in trouble, some kind of guys who fall asleep in cars that are running because they're too drunk to drive. Everybody deals with that stuff. You're dealing with kids. You're not going to stop recruiting guys based on the fact that I think there's a 1% chance that he could screw up, or a 10% or a 20%. If it's 60, yeah, maybe you don't. You want to criticize Jim McElwain for James Robinson, I get it. I wouldn't have brought that kid on campus myself. But you can't just blame the coach all the time. Say it's his fault. It's his fault. He should have known. He should have recruited better kids. You can say that, but it's not going to do you any good. It's like saying Steve Spurrier should have known about Tank Black. He should never have brought Johnny Rutledge and Javon Curse and guys like that into this program. Do you really think that? No. Things happen, man. I used to live at Landmark Apartments. Wind Meadows. Landmark's where I lived in college. I lived in Wind Meadows when I was single. And the players were always staying there. They lived there. A lot of the players. Curse lived there. He had this nice car. Never thought much about it. I remember every weekend they would have these big barbecues with all the players. Reggie McGrew would be over. And I think even Reggie might have lived there. And they would have these big barbecues. And I didn't think anything about it, you know. Maybe I should have known. But the bottom line was they were getting money from Tank Black. And then it ended up being a huge deal. But in this case, you know, okay, this apparently was a scam that these guys were pulling. And you can't expect them. Once they found out one thing about them, boom, you're done. You're not playing until we resolve all this. And even then, we're going to figure it out. We're going to make sure we're okay with the NCAA. So it's embarrassing. And Florida's in a bad position right now because there was so much positive buzz going on with this program. I mean, it was all, hey, look, they're going to be really good. And look at the recruiting that's going on right now. And don't worry, the Gators are coming back. They're almost back, and they're about to really come back. Because they won 19 games in 2 years. They went 13-3 in the SEC. They're almost back. They're certainly better than they were under Muschamp. But they're about to get all the way back. And now it feels like instead, all right, by the way, that was just a false alarm. They're not back. And I don't think it has to do with who you recruit. I just think that somewhere along the line there was somebody, whether it was one guy or two guys or three guys, that came up with this idea. If it turns out it was Antonio Callaway, I couldn't kick him far enough off of this program because I'm fed up with him. If he was somebody who just happened to get involved in it, I'm willing to give him another chance, but I think he needs multiple games of suspension. But if he's a ringleader here, and I don't know that he is, but I'm just saying he's a junior. If Jordan Scarlett's a ringleader, gone. You've embarrassed your university. You've embarrassed the program badly. Now, the bad thing is also for Florida is right now they're in a situation where they're being made fun of all the time because of this 10 players suspended. That's an eighth of their roster is suspended for this game. And there's going to be people taking shots at them. People love to hate the Gators. It's the way it is. And there are going to be people taking shots at them left and right. And you just have to suck it up. The same way you made fun of Free Shoes U and Crab Legs, the same way you made fun of other programs when they had their problems, you got to suck it up because there's nothing you can really say to defend yourself. The one good thing is Florida has been proactive once they've discovered all this stuff. They're not letting these guys play. I think there are some places where players would be allowed to play and you'd hope that it worked out, and that's just not the right way to do it. First of all, you know, you could find out later that they're ineligible and you could have to vacate some wins. But let's talk a little bit about how it affects them on the field. And I don't think it's as drastic as everybody thinks. Scarlett's okay. He's a good back. He's not spectacular. They've got other guys. The trouble is those other guys weren't expecting to get the load, and it's late for this to happen. But obviously everybody moves up a notch. You know, LaMichael Perine is now the number one. Mark Thompson's the two, and Malik Davis is number three. Lemons was going to play special team. Now he'll play a little bit more, maybe. It makes you a little nervous. You get younger guys in there, but we'll see what happens. Callaway's not going to be there. Now you got to play with some younger guys as well. But these guys have been, again, I'm not. We're not. We may not be done here for the weekend in terms of suspensions. And by the time you get to this podcast, you may say, hey, you didn't mention X, who's another receiver who's out, because there's one I'm hearing, but I'm not going to get into it here. I think Florida was easily the better team going into the camp. With all that Michigan lost, I think Florida was a better team. I think Florida was going to win that game. I think Florida might have won that game pretty easily. I'm still picking the Gators, but it's reluctantly. I don't know that I even want to pick them. I don't know that I even want them to win. I mean, right now, I'm so disappointed in everybody over there. Everybody. Nobody more than the players. The players who've let their teammates down. And the funny thing is, this is what McElwain was talking about. These guys get it. You know, they're in it for each other. You know, they care. It's about the right, doing it the right way, and they're about the right things, and they have a want to, and you know, all this. No, they didn't. They wanted to get a little extra money. They wanted to buy a bottle of something. They wanted to get a extra couple of pizzas. And you may be sitting there going, yeah, they should be able to. They're football players. They should have to be hungry. Well, they're never hungry, okay? If you're hungry, it's your fault. We could argue some other time about whether players should get more money than they're getting already, the stipend, in addition to a scholarship and free medical and free clothes and free food and all of that, free drinks. And the fact they can walk into a restaurant in this town, and if they know enough people, they walk in the right restaurant or bar, and they ain't picking up a check, okay? That happens everywhere in America, everywhere. Don't think it doesn't. And I look, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it happens. So it's not like you don't get anything. But that's a different argument. The argument, the only thing is, it's almost like, I use this analogy every once in a while. If you... you may believe marijuana should be legal. You may believe that it actually is a help medically, and that's fine if that's your belief. And one day we may see that where it is 100%, or you can walk down the street smoking a joint and say, hey, man, I got a terrible headache, and they have to say, fine. And that's where we get to. But we're not there now. And if you walk down the street smoking a joint, you're going to get arrested. Or in the case of Florida, if you're walking outside your dorm room and then they'll come into your room, which I still don't get that, but they do. But it's illegal. You can say steroids. Nothing's really wrong with them. They're illegal. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think, what your opinion is of something. The only thing that matters is the law. And in this case, what they did was against the law. It may have been only $300 each that they made out of this. You know, you can't do it. So we'll see where all this goes. It's a depressing time. I'm not going to lie to you. I know I'm not excited about our trip. We have a very late flight Friday, which makes me nervous. You know, always worried that it's going to get delayed or canceled to the point where you don't get out there in time, or maybe we just turn around and come home. And we have a 6 a.m. flight coming back. Their airport is Dallas Airport. The car rental is about 8 miles from the terminal, so I'm a little nervous about that. Hopefully everything goes well. Hopefully we make it out there, and maybe these guys rally the troops, circle the wagons, whatever cliche you want to use, and get things done. We'll see. All right. Well, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my friend Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. And we appreciate him for doing that. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at CBS Sports. You're listening to CBS Sports. Did you know that? No. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. Right now we are joined by my good friend Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, and it's finally here, Dennis. We have a full weekend of football. I know you're excited. You're going to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That'll be something, huh?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the stadium as well as the game. I got a tour in December at the SEC Championship game while it was just roughed in. And it's going to be spectacular. Jerry Jones and Atlanta are now in a death struggle to get every CFP championship game, I think.
Yeah, you know why FSU and Alabama are playing there for the first game at Mercedes-Benz? Because all the players have one. So, ba-boom.
Whoa, hey.
Hey, look, as many shots are being fired at the Gators right now, I'm allowed to throw some out the other way. That's the way I'm looking at it. Looking from afar, though, Dennis, I mean, this has got to be disheartening almost that Florida's in this situation with players getting suspended left and right before they play this game that we were all looking forward to.
Yeah, it does take something away from the game, which was really and may still be kind of a pick'em game. I think it's a really interesting game. I don't think anybody thinks either of these teams are going to play for the national championship, but they're two brand names. They're two good teams, and Florida has put itself behind the eight ball. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, what does it do for a team's branding and its just its public image when something like this happens, where you have this many players suspended?
Well, it's heightened whatever happens in the SEC, but look, they'll get past it. And look, I don't want to sound like, they should be throwing in the towel or they're going to lose. I mean, who knows? I think Michigan takes a step back this year in general. They have the fewest returners in the country. What is it, five? They only have one on defense. Now, Jim Harbaugh is recruited very, very well. They have really good players. But I think they're sort of like Florida. They're sort of like offensively challenged, and that's where their weakness lies.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, certainly. Obviously with the FSU-Alabama game that you're going to be at, I've talked to some people who tell me, hey, look, these teams are almost mirror images of each other, and that's why it's a hard game to pick just because it's hard to pick against Saban, and yet I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the two.
No, I think you're exactly right. It's hard to pick against Saban. He's 13-1 in Atlanta in his career, but FSU is really, really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if Jimbo Fisher has hit his peak at Florida State yet. In fact, I know he hasn't. I know he's won a national championship there, multiple ACC titles. He's 77-17. He has a better winning percentage than Bobby Bowden. Obviously, much smaller sample size, so take that as it is. But everybody wants to talk about Jalen Hurts and his progress from, freshman to sophomore year. What about DeAndre Francois?
Mm-hmm.
What about that defensive backfield? I hear, Derwin James some rumbling about the Heisman. You know, he's one of the best safeties, probably the best safety in the country. And then both teams would probably brag at the deepest backfield in the country. So I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm curious to see how some SEC – obviously, you got Alabama, you got Florida. NC State, South Carolina is a fascinating game to me. But what I think what the SEC can't do is lose any of the games. It's almost like they can't do what they've done in the past in basketball, which is when nobody's paying attention, they're playing non-conference games and losing to Wofford and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They can't do that in football. They can't have games against Georgia Southern that are competitive and Appy State. They've got to go ahead and show that they've got some good teams.
Yeah, I haven't looked it up, but I thought I heard this, that in some of these bigger games, only Alabama's favored among SEC teams. Now, obviously, there are some bad FCS teams involved in there. But, yeah, I think South Carolina needs to win. I think Florida needs to win. I've said it all off season. I think the ACC is the best conference. That may only matter to the ACC and SEC because, you know, at the end of the day, what does it really mean? It's just bragging rights.
Right.
But the ACC is better now. They have a much, much deeper cast of coaches than the SEC, who had six going into their third year or less in their current jobs. So that would suggest they're not established. And, you know, to the point that, is it going to be Alabama and the 13 Dwarfs again? If you ask who the second-best team last year was, it was a 13-way tie for second because everybody lost at least four games. Now, you know, I think Auburn is going to punch through there. I think they're definitely the second-best team. The West is going to be stronger, but they need to prove it. They need to do something on a national stage.
I think the ACC, it's important for them to back it up. You know, okay, you had this great breakthrough year, won the national title, won a lot of the head-to-heads with the SEC, had a good bowl record. But if you come back and don't do it again or something similar, everybody's going to say, well, that was just 1 year. It was Deshaun Watson and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, they did. Look, they've won two of the last four Heismans, two of the last four national championships. The SEC has still won eight out of the last 11 championships. But, you know, they need Clemson and Florida State to be good. They need Louisville to be good. Louisville, you know, Lamar Jackson won the Heisman last year, but only 13 teams have a longer losing streak right now than Louisville, which has three. They weren't very good at the end of last season. So those three at the top need to be good. We need to see the promise that everybody talked about with North Carolina State. You know, I guess that's there. I haven't dug too far down into it, but we need to see that.
And then in the Big 12, I mean, they almost have to have a better year.
Yeah.
And I mean, not only did they have they not been in the playoffs two of the 3 years, but they had like 16 players taking the draft. And I know a lot of people are looking at them.
14.
Yeah. They're looking at them like, what kind of football are you guys playing over there?
Yeah, I do think it'll get back. I think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, either one of those could go to the playoff. I actually think Oklahoma State's the best team, if only because Oklahoma's changed coaches. And, you know, I think Texas is going to be good. Not this year. Sorry, Texas fans. This is a transition year.
Yeah.
And those are the words coming out of the head coach's mouth, Tom Herman. K-State's going to be good. But, look, we can talk about that all day. They need to get to the playoff. They need to get one of those teams to the playoff. And I think it's pretty much chalk this year. You can probably pencil in an Alabama, a USC, an Ohio State. And so then that fourth spot comes down to the Pac-12 or Big 12. The Big 12 needs to show good early. They've got obviously Ohio State and Oklahoma. They've got Texas and USC just for starters in the first 3 weeks. They need to win those games.
Last thing for you, Dennis. We appreciate your time, but you know, I saw something where they Vegas had Notre Dame as a better favorite to win the national title than Oklahoma State, and I think Clemson. And I know Florida was below them, and I'm like, well, that's because Notre Dame has money. That's because Notre Dame fans will bet on that. That's only because Notre Dame, they're a national brand. But there's no record, I don't think, that would surprise me them because they've got a tough schedule as always, and even tougher maybe this year when you look at Miami, USC, and it just, I mean, they could go 4-8 again this year, or is Brian Kelly really a true CEO and he's going to delegate and they're going to win games?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be better, but how much better? I think the thing I came down to, I wrote this month that there's really no buzz anymore for Notre Dame. You know, they may be good, I don't know, but there's not that. We're not even having that argument over, hey, they're overrated, they're getting too much love. This is the seventh time in 14 years, Pat, Notre Dame has come into the season unranked. And that's never happened in that sort of time period. They're coming off the tied for their second worst record since 1963. So, yeah, you may be right. That might be some way to get some money into to get some money into Vegas than more than anything else.
Yeah, as a kid who grew up watching Lindsey Nelson, we now go to further action.
virtually live the day after.
That's right, exactly. All right, appreciate it. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. We'll be right back with more of the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Okay, thanks to Dennis again for coming on the show. Just quickly, because I went long on that early segment, and I know you guys are probably working out too hard to if you're on the treadmill, but I do appreciate all the good positive notes I get on the podcast. One thing we've done here different times is, remember one year I bet against the spreads, fake money, of course. Lord knows I can't afford any real money. I thought I would look at like two games that have me intrigued every week. Two games that I'd be tempted, but there's no point in betting fake money because you don't have any real money. Right? I mean, if you're not betting real money, who cares? But I would just keep an eye on these games. One is Texas is given 18.5 to Maryland. That seems like a lot of points for Texas. You just heard Dennis talk about how Texas is in rebuilding mode. Maryland, you know, DJ Durkin did a really good job of that team last year. I don't think they're very good, but I would think that might be a competitive game. That seems like a lot of points. The other one is Georgia given 14.5 to Appy State. Now, I know Appy State took Tennessee to the wire. Appy State should have won the game. If Jalen Hurd doesn't fall on that fumble in the end zone, the game's over and Appy State wins it. Now, he did, and they won. You know, they won some lucky games. They were very fortunate, and then they actually, the inability to stop anybody caught up with them, and they ended up with an average season. But it's hard for me to believe Georgia Georgia's the next, you know, sliced bread, right, isn't going to win by more than 2 touchdowns. So those are two I'm just curious about, keep an eye on. I'm kind of looking forward to, I would assume it's going to be Tuesday that we'll vote at the AP poll this week because of the Monday game between Tennessee and Georgia Tech. Kind of looking forward to voting again because, like I said before, I'm just ready for some results and then react to the results. Like, let's just say Alabama seal clubs FSU. I don't think they will, but let's just say they do. How far do you drop FSU? Let's say FSU rolls over Alabama. How far do you drop Alabama? The Michigan-Florida loser, where do they go to? You know, if Michigan loses to a Florida team that's got 10 players suspended, they're going to drop a long way. It's a free fall. They're free falling at that point. So, again, I'm just so excited about college football. I'm trying not to let the damper of what's going on here at UF affect me. I've had years like that before. In fact, I remember one year with the Muschamp. I think it might have been the 4-8. I told Robbie, I said, I'm not letting Muschamp ruin this football season. I'm going to enjoy football. I don't have to enjoy the Gator games, but I'm enjoying the rest of football. And look, I'm not ready to give up on this team. Who knows how long these guys are going to be suspended? Let's just say that everybody but a couple of them come back next week. It's kind of all forgotten. But if you win, if you go out and you get embarrassed, then it's a whole nother story. So I'm not ready to give up on this team. And like I said, I don't think they're devastated by either Callaway or Scarlett being out. But here's what you're going to have. Felipe Franks gets his first start. If the offense is the same old offense, people aren't going to blame him. They're not going to blame the offensive play calling. They're going to blame the guys being out. Well, let me put it this way. It'll be part of the equation. Rather than blame the quarterback or blame the play calls, you're going to say, well, and again, I don't know how much this changes Doug Nussmeier's whole deal. You know, we were going to just pound Scarlett. Now we can't pound him. We don't really feel comfortable pounding Pirine. So we got to change something up. You know, they lost Callaway early enough that it wasn't a big problem. And then you got left tackle, which is an issue if with Ivy's knee, and I don't know. Let's go, Robbie. What was it, Robbie? Asked Spurrier about something. He kept bugging him about a question, and he finally says, "I'll just watch the game, Robbie. Just watch the game." That's what we always say. Just watch the game. All right, let's do three things real quick. Number one, wanted to say thank you to Coach McElwain. Thank you to Coach Mike White. Thank you to Billy Donovan, who all called my dad on his 90th birthday. Wednesday. Happy 90th, Dad. We love you. And just know that these guys are, really good guys to have done that. In fact, Billy sent me a text just raving about how much he enjoyed the conversation. But thank you guys for doing that. Maybe it seemed a little cheesy for me to do that, but I want my dad to, I think he deserves something special. And that's, for him, is something special. Number two, bravo to the new changes I'm seeing over at the Swamp. Now, they've not only the new ribbon boards and stuff like that, but they've actually taken the part where it says Home of the Gators and some of the other things and made them actual physical letters rather than just painted on. They look really sharp. In fact, they've got the SEC championships up there as well. Swamp's going to look a little different when you come in. This isn't the end of things they're going to do over there. I know that Scott Strickland and the new associate AD, Larry Veach, feel like the Swamp needs a lot of work. That is, it's not just enough to say, hey, we're going to give you, skyboxes. We want to make it better for everybody. And I know that they're working on it very hard. So bravo to them. And also, finally, bravo to J.J. Watt. Look, J.J. Watt, I know that you could everybody's really doing their best. Kelvin Sampson, certainly people who've donated, Robert Kraft. But what J.J. Watt did, going on, I believe it was Periscope, Instagram, whatever it was, and asking for money and continuing to up the ante every time they hit a goal, going out again and asking for it. He's the face of Houston, and I think it's great. At last I checked, it was $10 million he had raised, and that's tremendous. And again, it's not too late, obviously. This is going to be a long-going battle trying to get Houston back. Not too late to donate to the Red Cross. I know I have, and I really encourage everybody to do that. This is going to be a long battle for that city, fourth biggest city in America, I think somebody told me, which is amazing, and most of it's underwater. So I'm actually flying into it Sunday, so we'll see. I guess I'll get a view of it Sunday morning, although I'm not sure it'll be light yet. But anything you can do to help with the Red Cross, that's the best place to go and do that. All right, that's going to do it for our Duly Noted podcast. I appreciate everybody for listening, and I'll certainly appreciate Dennis Dodd for joining us. We'll be back with another one next week early and tell you what we thought of the Michigan game. Hopefully we're back by then. All right, that's going to do it, though, for this one. I'm Pat Dooley, sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I'm deep, I'm way back, and I am out of here.